When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry over there. And this is Stuff You Should Know, Fairy Tale Edition.
Jerry is supposedly on vacation.
Yeah, what's going on?
But she came in here just for us.
Why, Jerry?
I think she feels beholden.
That's nice.
Which is weird, because we've had guest producers. I don't know. Maybe she feels like her job is threatened.
Is today the day I die?
No. Oh, geez. I hope not.
Jerry knows it.
Can we at least get these two in the can first?
Yeah. Well, probably, unless something really crazy happens in the next hour and two.
Yeah. That'll give me time to get in touch with, like, the five people I have on my list to replace you.
Yeah, I know. I know the five.
Bono.
Right.
Obama.
Right. Michael Stipe.
Michael Stipe. Bobby Fischer. I think there was one more. I can't remember.
Bobby Fischer.
The chess player.
Yeah, that's a little random.
Well, I want to correct that episode.
And Optimus Prime. That's the fifth one, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Chuckers.
Yes?
Have you ever heard a fairy tale before?
Well, yeah. We did two very good episodes.
Oh, if you say so yourself, huh?
No, these were good. I don't often say that, but in November of 2015. Mm-hmm. We did a back-to-backer with the dark origins of fairy tales and how the Grimm's fairy tales work, or the Grimm brothers.
We had fairy tale fever.
We did, but man, we licked it.
So did you go back and listen to them, and you're like, wow, these are good, or you just remember them being good?
I remember them being good.
Okay.
And being especially, like, kind of proud of those two.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah. That's how I feel about your limb is torn off. Now what? That was a good one.
It's a good title.
About reattachment surgery. Remember that?
Yeah, I think that title's all you. That's a Josh Clark title.
You got some good titles out there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal with blank?
You know who's really good at coming up with titles? Bono.
Yeah. Where the streets have no name.
Right.
Where the streets have no drums. How's that for a teaser?
Bam, dude, you just did it. So we're talking about fairy tales today. Specifically, we're talking about the fairy tale of the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as fairy tales go, it seems to be a little different than other fairy tales.
Okay.
And the reason why it's a little different is because, horrifically, it's people think, scholars, not just, you know, average
crackpots.
Joes, right? Like real deal scholars think that something actually happened that formed the basis of this fairy tale.
Right. Whereas with Hansel and Gretel, it wasn't based on some witchy lady who ate children.
No, but that one might have had some basis in fact, too. How about like Rumpelstiltskin? Probably not based in fact.
Probably not.
Right? You remember the little guy who like you trick him into saying his own name backwards?
The little guy with the big heart?
I don't think he had a big heart. He had an insatiable sexual appetite is what it was.
Oh, the little guy with the big heart was Bono.
Right. Man, we're going to get so many emails from people being like, lay off Bono. What's with the Bono references? Who's Bono?
Yeah.
They must work with that Bono guy.
I wish.
So, Chuck, the Pied Piper, the reason why we say it might be based in fact is because there's actual, like, historic evidence that kind of supports this thing. And you can find it in this town of Hamelin, which is a real place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a made-up, like, fairy tale land. Like,
sure.
you know, Oz.
There's your first clue.
Yeah. Most fairy tales are not set in an actual place, right?
I don't know. Are they?
No.
They're just made up.
Yeah. Or
Wonderland.
They're in a very vague place, mm-hmm. or they take place in a larger place, like, oh, in Germany one day or in Bavaria one day. Not like in this town.
Right.
That actually existed at the time we're saying it did, which is another thing, too, because if you look at the actual fairy tale, which we'll get to in a second, there's like a specific date.
Yeah.
That also is very unusual for a fairy tale. So the more you dig into it, the more you're like, yeah, this might have actually happened. And then once you think, oh, this might have actually happened, then you're struck with some of the greatest dread a human being can experience.
Yeah.
Because it's something bad happened is what happened.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about it.
All right. Well, let's get into the original fairy tale, the Grimm's Brothers tale of the Pied Piper.
It was
not even Irish.
Not at all German.
Jane McGrath, good old Jane, mm-hmm. from back in the day, wrote this one.
Sure.
And she points out that it is a cautionary tale about governance as well as taking responsibility for financial agreements. She's right, but putting it that way seems a little funny.
Yeah.
But it is 1284 in Hameln in Germany, and there was a rat infestation in the town at the time, and the mayor...
And this is the fairy tale you're going over, right?
Yeah. And so the mayor of the town didn't know what to do.
The Burgermeister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Meister Burger. The stranger comes into town and wore, and I didn't know what pied even meant.
I didn't either.
What is it?
Multicolored.
Yeah.
He wore multicolored clothes. Pied, multicolored clothes.
That's all he was. He was a piper who wore colorful clothing.
Had nothing to do with eating pies. Nope. Or I thought walking on his feet, you know.
You thought that's what that meant?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think like a pedestrian comes from pied or pied.
Well, but
I think it's like maybe Italian or something.
That certainly makes more sense than me having no clue.
Yeah, but yeah. I was way off, so it doesn't matter.
He walked.
He did walk.
So you're kind of right.
That was the other reason I thought that too.
So his outfit looked a little weird, apparently. Multicolored. People didn't dress like that, I reckon.
I saw, though, that it was also like a splendid outfit that he
garish.
Attracted a lot of attention, and people were like, I wish I had the cojones to dress like you, Pied Piper.
And dance around with a pan flute.
Right.
And he had they call it a musical pipe or some kind of flute.
Not a smoking pipe,
no.
Potheads.
No. And he hears about this rat problem. He comes into town. He drags his fingernails along the chalkboard and gets everyone attention in the town meeting.
Yeah.
Says, I'll kill that shark.
Oh, you got to do it better than that.
No. I'll kill the rats.
Yeah, but in the voice.
I can't do Quint.
Whatever. You can do anything. You're like the rich
Jerry.
Little of this company.
Jerry's laughing at us for no reason.
She's so sick of this.
Man, she's really tickled today. Jerry, are you stoned? No.
She's been smoking her own magical pipe.
So they agree on a price to get rid of the rats. Piper takes out his little hand flute.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that's what it's called. But the price is important. Can I go into the price for a second?
Sure.
So he initially said that he would get rid of the rats for 1,000 florins, which is either coins or money from Italy or France or the Netherlands. But money.
Yeah.
1,000. A lot at the time.
1,000 pieces of money.
And this town of Hameln was so overrun by rats. Apparently all their cats had died.
Whoa.
Yes.
They beat the cats?
So I didn't see explained what happened to the cats, just that the cats died, and that's why the town was overrun.
Okay.
Which is a weird little thing, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because my first thing was like, why a Pied Piper? Just get some cats.
The cats had all died.
All right.
Good thinking, Chuck. But they say 1,000 florins. We'll give you 50,000 florins if you get rid of these rats. Our problem is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, done.
But was that a facetious offer?
I think it was a desperate boast.
Okay.
But the Pied Piper was like, all right, I'll agree to your terms. I just wanted 1,000, but 50,000 it is.
And they went, I think we overspent.
I regret saying that.
But you should hear the guy. So he pulls out the instrument. He starts playing. As the story goes, all the rats congregate around him. Mm-hmm. And he leaps about and dances through town into the Weser River. which the rats drowned, which is complete fabrication because rats are very good swimmers.
They really are. I thought about that too.
I even looked it up.
Yeah.
They're good swimmers.
Not just rats you've seen. It's rats in general.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, honestly, when I heard that, the first thing that made me think that was like, wait a minute, in First Blood, when he's in that abandoned mine shaft, those rats are swimming all over the place.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. I was like, is that true? And apparently rats are really good swimmers.
Yeah.
Some better than others.
I've seen that too. So this fairy tale stinks of BS already. Okay. But the story goes that the rats followed this guy in a trance to the river whereupon they drowned.
Maybe they were in the trance. And that was why they couldn't swim, because they were just so lulled by his hand flute.
Yeah. His smooth jazz.
Should we take a break there and finish the story after?
Oh, that's quite a cliffhanger.
All right, let's do that. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chuck, we're back. Lay it on them, man. that was high class.
Well, they drown all the rats. The Pied Piper is successful. Everyone parties German style, which is to say they probably got hammered on 88-ounce beers. You ever been to Germany?
Sure.
You ever had the beers there, the big...
Yeah, I mean, they got big old beers there for sure. And they have lids on their mugs, too, because, you know, there's so much of it. You can just set it down and save it for later. But I don't think they save it for later.
The beer garden I went to did not have the lids.
Maybe I've just seen those on TV.
But what they did have was a 4.5 foot tall woman with Popeye-sized forearms carrying six of those giant ones in each hand.
In each hand, sure.
Like a pro, not like a pro. They were pros.
Well, she was probably sold to the beer garden at a young age and was raised to serve like that.
Please tell me that's not the case. All right, so where are we? Townspeople are partying. They're getting hammered. They're singing their prosting, singing their German beer hall songs as they are wont to do. And then
Pink Cadillac.
Dude says, "What's up with that? All those florins."
Yeah, he's like, everybody, I'm really glad you enjoyed my work, but now it's time for me to go pay me.
And did they just stiff him, or did they say, well, let's go back to the thousand?
They said, we're not giving you 50,000 florins. We thought you were going to get rid of these rats through hard work. You just played some flute. Like, that's cool that you can do that with the flute, but that's not really work. So, no, we're not going to pay you 50,000 florins. He's like, Well, then 1,000 florins at least. That's what I originally agreed to. And they're like, how about this? We're going to give you 50. And if you're not happy with that, then you're getting nothing. And he was still so mad that they're like, fine, nothing. Get out of town. And he says, you will regret this.
You know what that's like? That's like hiring the critter remover because you have a raccoon in your attic. Mm-hmm. You agree to a price. He comes over and shoots the raccoon mm-hmm. and says, game over. And you're like, wait a minute. I expected a little more, like you were going to hypnotize him or coax him down from the roof with your smooth jazz.
Right. Not just shoot it. Anybody could shoot it. I thought you were going to like step on it or something.
Yeah, like I would have shot it. Right. I was looking for a peaceful solution.
Right. In place, I have a bullet hole in my house now.
Have you ever had to call one of those people?
A raccoon remover?
Well, just, you know, those dudes. Then it's like, you know, I'll do snakes and raccoons and possums or whatever. No. I haven't either.
But a lot of my friends do that.
I'm overrun, I think I mentioned, with cockroaches right now. And it's just, it's getting bad.
Still?
Yeah, dude. Because I don't know what to do.
Hire an exterminator.
Yeah, but we're not into the poison stuff. But I think it's like, we got to do it.
I think there's green exterminators that are not quite as deadly.
Jerry's nodding, but yeah. Will they kill all the cockroaches?
They'll kill probably, you'll probably have
lavender
less,
dust.
You'll probably, right, with their magic flute.
I need to do something. It's gotten out of hand.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Like, I almost am going to tell you what happens, but I feel like people judge me on how disgusting it is.
We can always edit it out later.
All right, I'll go in, and this is not like, it's not like food is out. I will clean the kitchen.
Sure.
I will go in there to get a glass of water at midnight, and I'll turn the light on, and a dozen will scatter.
Wow.
Jerry's going, nope. Like, I will hear them going.
Sure, yeah. That's one of the creepiest things.
And they, you know, as soon as they see that light, they're gone. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like we live in filth, but it doesn't matter. We're infested. They're just like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, I think you may want to call an exterminator, but find one. You live in Decatur. I'm sure you'd be hard-pressed to find an exterminator that did use deadly poison.
Yeah, you throw a rock in Decatur and you'll hit a lavender
hippie.
Dust man.
Yeah, right. So, I think it might be time.
All right. Sorry about getting sidetracked so much. They offer him what, 50?
50, not even, not 50,000 or 1,000, 50.
And so what does he say?
He says, bleh. He did that little, everybody, you can't see me, but you know where you flick the underside of your chin?
I feel like that's Italian.
Well, I mean, this is Germany. It's Lower Saxony. It wasn't too far from Germany.
No, but is that Italian? I was just wondering.
Yeah.
It feels like a very, like, Italian thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Right, exactly. You got to say it like that.
All right, so he gives him that number and says, I'm going to come back. Does he even warn them and say, I'm going to come back and get your kids, or I'm just going to...
It depends on the story.
It's all good. You'll see me again.
It depends on the story. Some say he vowed vengeance. Some say he came back a month later. Some say he came back a year later. Some say he just immediately started playing his flute.
Oh.
Some say, and I think the Brothers Grimm version, is that he waited until the town went to sleep and then came through the town and started playing again.
All right. But this time he's wearing hunter's clothing. A little ominous.
I did not see that anywhere.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that BS?
Well, I don't think it's BS. I think the story's just been added to many times over the... But yeah, I shouldn't have even said anything.
All right. So he comes back regardless of what he's wearing. Let's say he's buck naked, which makes it even more fun.
Well, you just added to the legend just there.
He starts playing this flute again, but this time the children are entranced. Mm-hmm. He leads, 130 kids supposedly?
Yeah. Pay attention to that number. It seems a little specific, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay.
He leads 130 children out of town. Up a mountain to a cave. They supposedly enter and are never heard from again.
Right. And the mountain has a landslide
and
covers up the cave mouth. And supposedly it was a magical door that opened in the mountain that revealed the cave. They go in, doors closed, landslide, gone. Never heard from again, like you said.
And the townspeople are like, there goes our labor pool.
Yeah. There goes my baby. There goes our labor pool. Who's going to serve us at the beer gardens?
And supposedly there, in one version at least, there was the mayor's grown daughter was among that group. And this feels like a specific jab at the mayor.
Right.
Like, even though your daughter's grown, I'm going to entrance her with my flute as well.
Right. Yeah. Which I don't think that was in the original Grimm Brothers one either, but.
But two children survive, correct? Or they come back?
I think in the Grimm Brothers version, it's just one. Sometimes it's up to three, mm-hmm. but there's in a lot of retellings, there's a kid who either is deaf and so can't hear the magic flute song, is not entranced, has some sort of physical disability, and so he or she can't keep up with the rest of the kids and mm-hmm. survives from that. I think is blind and can't see their way. Either way, some kid who had some unique characteristic that kept them from being mm-hmm. Entranced or whatever is like the eyewitness that comes back and tells the parents what happened.
Or in another version, it's just a skeptic, a right. child skeptic.
This can't be happening. Lewis, the child skeptic.
That's funny. So, all right, so let's get into this. It may not be fiction, as it turns out, because a lot of historians and scholars have looked into this. You talked about the specificity mm-hmm. being a little weird. One thing we do know is that at one point there was a stained glass window in the town church that depicted, and this was, what, around 1300s, is after it would have happened.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, 16 years
right.
in memory, living memory, mm-hmm. is when they first erected that window.
Which kind of makes sense mm-hmm. as a memorial. And on that window, it said, on the day of John and Paul, mm-hmm. 130 children in Hamlin went to Calvary and were brought through all kinds of danger to the Copan Mountain and lost.
Yeah. So the Calvary thing, that I thought was another word for heaven, isn't it? I'm going to Calvary. Isn't that like the hill where Christ was crucified?
I used to know the answer to this.
If I know this, surely you know.
I used to know this. Okay. I know it looms large in Christianity, but I can't remember exactly.
I think it's like shorthand for I'm going to meet my maker. I saw elsewhere that they referred to the mountain as Calvary.
Yeah.
They also referred to the area that the children went to, Calvary, as the execution place. I never saw any explanation of that. Mm-hmm. And then the Copan Mountain, I don't understand why that would be also named Calvary, and they would mention it the same place twice with two different names. So it's a bit
weird.
Of a mystery, but the point is, about 15, 16 years after this event supposedly happened, or the fairy tale takes place, the town of Hamlin, Germany, in Lower Saxony, or Westphalia, I think is what it's called now, put up a stained glass window commemorating mm-hmm. this.
And the window did not survive, but apparently there are accounts of that window.
Yeah.
Like in more than one place.
Yeah, and it was you can understand that it would be because it was in the town church for hundreds of years before it was destroyed. No one knows how it was destroyed, but there is documentation that this window existed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, no living historian saw it with their own eyes.
Sure.
But there's enough documentary evidence that it seems to be, yes, there was a window that was erected in 1300. That is a very weird thing to do.
Yeah, to just make up.
Right.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Especially in a church.
Yeah. No, you don't lie.
No.
You go to hell for that. So that was the first documentary evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next one I saw comes 100 years later in 1384, and it's in the Hamlin Town Chronicle for that year. And all it says is, it is 100 years since our children left.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
And what is that, just a blurb?
I guess so. You'd think 100-year commemoration, they might add a little more than that.
Yeah, and what is this, the Lundberg manuscript?
Mm-hmm.
This was about 100 years after the window. And this was a monk who wrote it, Heinrich of Hereford. And he writes an account and says, a man about 30 years old came to town playing a flute and led the children out.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, but what's noteworthy about that one, there's a couple of things. So the piper doesn't show up in the window.
Right.
But he does show up in the Lundberg manuscript. He mentions the piper.
But no rats in any of these, right?
Not yet. But the other thing about the Lundberg manuscript is that Lundberg is a nearby town. So there are other towns that are talking about this event that happened.
I'm sure we're getting around.
In their own chronicles.
Yeah.
Right.
If it was real.
One of the reasons why, but it supports the idea that it's real, because if it's just this one town that's deluded, even if other towns are talking about it, they'll probably be, by the way, they're all nuts.
Yeah.
But other towns' chronicles seem to be verifying that this happened or recounting the story in like a credulous way.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened in 1284 and the evidence is starting to mount. But the other thing about the fact that this is another town is that this town, Lumberg, and other towns cited that Hamelin came to be known to commemorate things counting backward or forward from the date of 1284.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, they put up a gate in 1556 in the town.
Right.
This is what they inscribed on the gate, Chuck. In this year of 1556, 272 years after the magician led 130 children out of the town, this portal was erected. That's like saying, like, this we're putting up this sewer 262 years after our children were led out of town by a magician. Enjoy the sewer. Like, yeah. That's a weird thing to inscribe in something. And apparently the town became known for that kind of thing.
What, just these random inscriptions about this weird, like, mysterious event?
Yeah, just, like, dating everything
right.
from 1284 on based on their children leaving. And again, you'll notice it mentions 130 children. Things changed over the retelling,
mm-hmm.
but the one thing that's remained the same is the 130 children leaving. Even before
yeah.
the piper shows up in the story, 130 children are cited each and every time.
Yeah, but and what we don't know is that like some symbolic thing? Is it all metaphor? Should we take a break and get to the theories?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do that. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the theories are varied. One of the common ones makes a lot of sense is that there was some disease that killed all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then this story is some sort of metaphor for what happened to their children. And the fact that rats come into play at some point have led people to speculate that it might be the bubonic plague.
Yeah, there's a guy named Count Froben Christoph von Zimmer. Can you say it like that, Froben?
No, I don't know, but I know that that guy will steal your soul in the middle of the night if you're not careful.
Right. Yeah. So Count Froben Christoph von Zimmer, you can only say all of his names. You can't.
Beware.
He wrote, right, he wrote a chronicle in 1565 from another nearby town. And he was the one who seems to have introduced the rats.
Okay.
And so at that point, the Piper goes from just a weirdo magician to a Rattenfanger.
Yeah, rat catcher.
Yeah.
Which was a job.
It was. And I mean, like this town would have had rats. Any town would have had rats. So it would have been, like, it's understandable, like, that the rats would come into it. And it's not like that's just, you know, a totally outlandish addition to the story. But the fact that it doesn't show up until 1565.
Yeah.
And this has been documented for hundreds of years up to that point seems a little fishy. And it certainly seems weird that it would have been the plague because the plague hadn't come around yet, right?
Right. And it also seems fishy that it doesn't mention anything about adults and any sort of rat carrying or diseased rat would seem like it wouldn't just affect kids.
No, no.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But the idea that 130 kids were taken from the town in one form or fashion.
Yeah.
You could say, well, it's like some sort of disease. Mm-hmm. One of the other diseases that got put up was Parkinson's, I believe. Or no, Huntington's. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which is a stupid theory.
Yeah.
It's a terrible theory. Huntington's disease is an inherited disease.
Yeah, that did make any
sense. So that would mean that every kid in the town had inherited Huntington's from their parents who apparently weren't showing any symptoms.
Who put that forth?
I don't know. I couldn't find it, but it's a terrible one. And then the idea that, so it's not infectious, it's rare, and everybody's symptoms coming on at the same time and dying. The reason why they said that, though, is because supposedly the shakes from it, the palsy, would account for the dancing of the children. Seems like a pretty dumb thing to zero in
That's
on.
That's a stretch.
Huntington disease, we're crossing off the list.
All right. One of my favorites is that the children left on their own as part of one of the Crusades. And apparently, the one thing that doesn't quite align is the timeline, because a few decades previous, there were, in fact, young people, children, probably teenagers, doubt they were like eight-year-olds, participating in the Crusades. One of them would have a vision from God and say, you know, we should totally cover the Crusades. I don't think we...
No.
Have we done that?
No, not yet. There's a really good article on the site, too.
That'd be a pretty dense single.
Yeah, we might have to do two.
All right. Two-parter on the Crusades.
Coming at you.
So, you know, one of those kids would have a vision from God, and then all the kids would follow and say, all right, we're going to take our broadswords that we can barely lift and go fight the good fight.
Right.
So that's one theory.
And that's actually pretty, that's a little more rooted in reality. Like, yes, there were a children's crusade before documented. It's possible it happened a decade or two later. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was in the area and well known, some other kid could have been like, oh, okay. Let me try my hand at it.
Right.
Changes his name to Jim Jones and says, follow me to Jerusalem, right?
That's right.
So that one could have happened. It's possible. The other one, this is supposedly the most widely held theory, Chuck, was that this is all part of the Ostsiedlung. This is a tongue twister. Ostsiedlung, which is basically an exodus or an eastward expansion from Germany to Transylvania, Romania area,
right,
which was being newly settled by Western Europeans after conquering, like, the whole Dracula era.
So the idea is an adult came and said, hey, kids, why don't you come with me and we'll go, like, populate Eastern Europe.
Pretty much, right. Right. So, and there is evidence that this did, like, this definitely happened, right? There was a migration eastward.
Right.
And the big thing about this one is that we're misinterpreting the word kids or children, that it could have been the town's children, but it's like they're children. They weren't kids. They were,
young adults
who would have represented, like, you know, a lot of the workforce. So it would have been a big deal had they left. So that's I think, the most widely held one right now.
Well, one of the traditions you're hanging on to is, and I kind of teased it with that dumb Bono jerk.
Poor Bono.
He's like, slip.
What did I do?
That was a great Bono. That Bono joke earlier is today still the street where this supposedly all happened is called the Bungalowsenstrasse. Street without drums And to this day, they won't allow people to play music or dance on that street.
Right. The rest of the town, and including that street, but really the rest of the town, is the whole town is dedicated to this legend.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say dedicated to music and dancing.
Well, I'm
except for the street.
They do. There is a musical called Rats that's put on in the town. Seriously, and there's like a Pied Piper statue and recreations every Sunday in the summer.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's a huge tourist town for this.
Huh.
There's like a I think a Rat's Blood cocktails that they serve. I saw. There's like a Mental Floss article that mentioned that, but the town is dedicated to this. But there's the fact that they're still talking about it is not just legend. Mm-hmm. It's like they're still telling that story to an extent. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Keeping it alive, not just for tourist dollars.
Right. Because it looms large because this is their ancestry.
Right.
Well, they definitely, there are some more theories that haven't gained as much traction. Like there was a pedophile that came. These children were just simply sent away because they were very poor, because that happened.
That's my theory.
That was just sort of the regular thing that would happen is we're all so poor, you go away and live a better life somewhere.
Yeah, and that's where Hansel and Gretel is kind of rooted in reality, the idea of child abandonment. Remember, we talked about that, I believe, in one of the fairy tale episodes from before, that like if you fell on hard times, just taking your kid out to the woods and being like, best of luck.
Yeah.
It was a viable thing to do during the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And it's possible that this town basically said, it'd be like a combination of the guy coming from Romania and saying, mm-hmm. follow me, and the parents being like, maybe you should go with him.
Right.
You know? And then it would explain why the whole thing is written in like such vague, flowery language. To me, that indicates that they're working out guilt. There's guilt by this town. They're vague.
That makes sense.
They're not direct. Other towns are talking about this legend in much more explicit terms.
Mm-hmm.
But in the town of Hamelin, it's all very like flowery and poetic and vague. And it makes me think they're covering something up that they have to get off their chest, but they're still they can't bring themselves to actually say what it was.
Well, that sort of jibes then with this dude. He's a children's poet named Michael Rosen. You sent that one article.
Yeah.
He actually went to Hamelin and hooked up with a guy named Michael Boyer from the tourism office there. And Boyer says that he thinks the rats were added, and this makes sense with your theory, was that just sort of an attempt to wash away what he said were bad memories, like a cover up to draw attention away
mm-hmm.
from this awful thing. They were like, hey, let's tell this rat story.
Right. But if you'll notice also in that story with the rats, there is guilt by the town. The town is guilty of something and they lose their children as a result.
Right.
So if the rats were actually part of the original story, even if it wasn't documented, even if there weren't real rats, it still is putting some veneer of guilt onto the town. It wasn't something that just happened to them. This thing
right.
befell them because they did something wrong.
Wow, I feel like there could be a deeper mystery, though.
Yeah, I think there is, like, for real. I think there's something really happened in Hamelin in 1284, and they lost 130 kids somehow, and the town was psychically damaged by it.
Are you going to title this one Pied Piper : Cold Case?
That's a good one, actually.
It's not bad.
Okay, you got anything else?
No, I want to know more.
I know. I got sucked into this. I can't remember which of the articles I sent that got me, but I don't remember how I came across it. But it was like, oh, I'd never thought of this. And it's not like you can do this with every fairy tale.
Right.
There's probably no Rapunzel and probably no Rumpelstiltskin. And Hansel and Gretel's just so vague. It probably happened to multiple children. But this happened in Hamelin in 1284. Something happened. We may never know what it was, but it's pretty interesting.
My mind goes really dark and thinks like, what if there was just a mass murder
these
parents?
One more thing. I'm glad you brought that up. So the execution place, the Coppin Mountain or Calvary Mountain, whatever it was, supposedly that was where they buried people too.
Oh, that's right.
So they were saying that could be code for a mass grave
mm-hmm.
where they would have buried people, which would suggest a mass death that happen in a short period of time.
Man, can you imagine if there was a discovery made of children's bones in a mountain somewhere north of Hamelin?
That'd be neat.
I say north because it's mountains. Oh, I just think that means they're north.
So one more. You keep bringing up this awesome stuff, dude. You ready?
I'm ready.
They recently discovered, I think they discovered it a while back, but they recently publicized it, the discovery of a, and believe it was, in, it was definitely in Peru. It wasn't Incan. It was one of the Incan's rivals, the Inca rivals. But it was a mass sacrifice of hundreds of kids that all happened on one day, one after the other.
Ugh.
It was, and like they found this, and you're reading it, and you're like, this probably has never happened in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Anything like this, nothing like this. I mean, yes, there were probably child sacrifices, or there were definitely child sacrifices, but they would do it like once in a while or something. But imagine a town gone that berserk that they just let their kids, like hundreds of kids just killed in a day in one area. It was, it's really rough, man. It's, but reading about it, it's, I mean, it's just, you can't help but pull yourself back into that day and just see it and want to be like, stop, what are you doing? You've lost your mind, you know?
And if it happened once, it could happen again.
I guess so.
You know, maybe the parents were all, maybe they all drank bad beer one day.
Yeah.
And it made them temporarily insane.
That'd be really bad.
It sounds like a Blumhouse movie to come.
What is that?
It's just that production company that makes a lot of the horror movies now.
What, like what?
I think they did Get Out, among many others.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Okay, you got anything else now?
I got nothing else.
Jerry? No. Okay, well, if you want to know more about the Pied Piper and all that stuff, you can type that word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said that, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this a double quinceañera reply, because we heard from a couple of people with some good insight. First, Alexandra, longtime listener from San Juan, Puerto Rico, loved the episode on quinceañeras. As usual, you did a great job approaching a cultural tradition that is not your own, while providing a balanced information, well-rounded contextualization of the celebration and its influences.
She's like, in parentheses, it was the opposite of the vaping episode.
Oh, man. We've gotten beat up about that. For my own quinceañera, my mother gave me the option of the traditional coming-of-age party or a trip. What do you think she chose?
I'm guessing a trip.
Yeah, I would too. I chose to travel and spend a month in Germany the summer I turned 15. Looking back, it's amazing that she trusted me enough at such a young age to travel on my own, although I did stay with family.
She's like, it's the greatest regret of my young life.
I wish I would have partied. Just wanted to clarify a few things you brought up. L-A-T-I-N-X is pronounced, she says, Latinx.
Okay.
It refers to those from Latin America or Latin American descent. Hispanic refers to Spanish-speaking persons.
Okay.
Oh, and your pronunciation of quinceañera was great.
Nice.
As the E-R-A is a soft R sound. No need to read this on the podcast.
Yes.
Sorry, Alexandra. And then this other follow-up. This guy says, this is Ty Von Plinsky.
I recognize that name. I think he's on Twitter or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great name.
He's localish. He said, disclaimer, I'm a white person from Georgia, so I have no authority here at all, but we'll be referring to the opinions of actual Latino, Latina, Latinx people I know or have read the writings of. I personally only heard that word pronounced with confidence in the following two ways, Latinx and Latinx.
Okay.
However, some people say Latinx or Latinx.
Latinx sounds right because it's Latino, Latina.
Sure.
Latinx.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Or Latinx rhymes with Sphinx.
I don't think that's right.
Or something else entirely, as evidenced by this Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm.
And he shared a Twitter poll.
Thanks.
Which was from a media brand for Latino millennials. Interestingly, there appears to be backlash against the term by some who view it as an attempt, intentional or not, to anglicize Spanish. They say this is part of a larger movement to paint Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Latinx people as sexist and ignorant. The Mexican-American person who introduced me to the term was still sorting out their feelings about the whole situation.
Huh.
So that's
wow, we stepped into a hornet's nest with that.
Ty Von Plinsky.
If you want to get in touch with us like Ty and Alexandra did, you can tweet to us. I'm at Josh Clark and at SYSK Podcast, and Chuck's at Movie Crush. You can join Chuck on Facebook at facebook.com/CharlesWChuckBryant and /StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us all an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.